reading of scriptures, attending the churches or the temples is the elementary step, no doubt. But that is not the end all, I say. We have to make the best of what you learn in the Holy Scriptures. We have to live up to it and see those experiences, have those experiences which they had in our own lives. Unless, when we go to the church, what you say, there is a God. Oh God, have mercy on us, that's all right. Scriptures all say so, there is a God. But have we seen God? That's the point. Unless we see Him, we have got some experience of the great reality, we are not convinced. To see things is something else, to understand is something else, and to read scriptures only, that is something else. So all we are to make the best use of all these things until we come up to the point to see the reality with our own eyes. As all great saints who came in the past, they did say in their Holy Scriptures like that, "Behold the Lord. God is seen everywhere. That inner eye has to open with which He is seen." That is the third eye in each man. That is called Shivaneta in the Sanskrit scriptures, and the Nukta Sad in the Mohammedans. So that inner eye has to be opened. So he said, this is what all men are doing. And in this delusion, I would say, the end comes all at once, and the man is cut off. The inner dweller of the house is gone. He has been pursuing all along in connection with the body and intellectual attainments. But he has not known himself, so when the time comes all at once to leave the body, he is in a nonplussed condition. He doesn't know what to do. He simply repents, just sheds tears, and passes off. That's it. So, Guru Arjuna says, well, look here, in this life of delusion as you are following, what you should do. He says, just attend, have the company of somebody who is awakened, who has known himself, who sees the reality with his own eyes. You should attach yourself, have the company of that particular saint before you. What will you gain thereby? You will learn how he has known himself. He will give you first an experience of the self and of yourself. How little it may be, there's no question of quantum, but you will have some experience of the beyond, of your own self and of the old self. If you know that you have that thing in your life now, so by first an experience what you get at the time when he initiates you into the beyond, you can develop that experience from day to day and the proper guidance and help. So he says, well, while living as a man, you should contact somebody who has got, who is awakened, so to say, and who has got personal knowledge of his own self, not in theory, but practically he has analyzed himself to see what he is, and he sees over self with his inner eyes. So that is the way how you can also say, make the best use of your human life. If you do contact such like personality, you will enjoy this life and afterlife both. Then he says, look here, oh man, you had come to make the best use of the life. You see? What does it profit a man if he gains the possessions of the whole world and loses one's own soul? Our pursuits in connection with the body and other intellectual ways, that will be only helping factor, but not the end all be all in life. The end all and be all of life is to know one's own self and the over self. So he says that, look here, you have come in the world to know yourself. You have been given the body of a man in which you have got the golden opportunity to know yourself and to know ourselves in the company of somebody who has known himself. The man who has known himself, he will only be able to give you, enable you to know yourself. For instance, if you come to a compounder, he will give you so many recipes given by so many eminent doctors, but he won't be able to make you a doctor. Only a doctor will make you a doctor. Similarly, those who have got only literary knowledge of these holy scriptures, they will be able to give you the literary knowledge, different, how they got it, this and that thing. They have not seen the reality with their own eyes, and you won't be able to see that reality unless the man who has seen the reality, he does give you some experience of it. So he enjoins, while as a man, you may remain in any social body you are there, you are welcome to remain over there, but know yourself naturally. You will come to know yourself when you come in contact with somebody who has known himself. This is a thing which has been impressed by all saints who came in the past. Maulana Rum, a great Mohammedan saint, he says, look here, if you want to make a pilgrimage of God, what should you do? You should just accompany a man who has already done the pilgrimage of God. He has seen the place, you just go along with him. You need not even read the Holy Scriptures, because he has seen the place about which the Holy Scriptures speak of. He simply leads you there, he daily goes over there, he will also lead you there. Who should be a such pilgrim, he says. Let him be a Hindu or a Mohammedan or an Arabic or anybody, A, B or C, that doesn't matter. You want to be a doctor, you see. It is not necessary the doctor should be a Hindu or a Mohammedan, he should be a doctor. Full knowledge of the physical body. Those who have got that knowledge, naturally in their company, you will know that very knowledge yourself practically. So first and foremost thing is just to seek the company of somebody who has got the first knowledge of yourself and your own self. Name him by any name you like, where he lives, whether he is in India or abroad or America or Europe, that doesn't matter. He may be young to Christians, he may have been born in Hindus, he may have been born in Sikhs, or Zoroastrians or anywhere. The man who has got the first experience, he finds only such man is wanted to be contacted, with only to have the contact with him. So he presses the heart, look here, you had come to just make the best bargain out of a man's life. What does it profit a man if he gains the possessions of the whole world and loses one's own soul? So soul life, science of the soul, that you have to study and have it. What are you doing? He says, you are just engaged in very trifling matters. To a wicked man, all these things become trifling. They do follow these lives, I mean, they do not educate to lead the life, worldly life and go out. But they do say, as comparatively, soul life is the highmost. That's the main subject or the main mission of one's life, to know oneself. Why are you engaged in so trifling things? He says, you have come to know yourself and know God. Then what are you doing? For the sake of satisfying your appetites, you are killing. Kill not. This is what Christ, this is one of the 12 commandments, this also one of the commandments of the Buddha, and almost every other saint. Kill not. So you are after killing everyone. He says, they are just as you are, they have got life in them, their feelings. Why you injure their feelings? The one living in you is also residing in that one as well. So you must have, in your love for God, you must have love for all creation. To love God means to love humanity and to love all creation. If you love, you have love for God and no love for the creation, or for humanity, do you mean is it love of God? No, not the least. So this is what he is pressing here. They are just like as you people are, So just behave one great commandment, kill not, strike not. Lead the life of non-strict violence, non-violence in mind, word and deed. This is first thing. If Auntie God lives in everywhere and you love Him, the same love lives in everybody, you must behave that body as also as God. You see, God is already existing there. These are the commandments which we are not caring for, and there is trouble arising from day to day. Further He says, if you want to liberate yourself, to know yourself, to fulfill the great mission before you, you simply do something just to contact with somebody who has known himself and yourself. What will he do? He will simply contact you with the divinity already existing in you. He will invert, he will show you how to invert inside and contact the divine word already in you. This word is a connecting link between man and God. In the beginning was the Word. Word was with God and Word was God. So that power, whole world, there was no world when there was Word. You see, the same thing has been expressed by all other saints in their own ways, by expressing in their own words, but there is God in action power, you might say. Just understand that God in action power lives in everybody, and that is the support of our life in all creation. If we invert and contact with that, that is the way back to God. Expression of that divine word in two ways. One, you see the light within, and you hear the sound current within. And these are the two ways back of the same God. And the expression of one reality supporting all creation. So his job, that divine man, I will say, are this master soul who is competent to give you an experience of that divine word within you. He will open your inner eyes, you will see the light within, you will require no testimony for that. Because when you see things for your own self, there is the necessity of a further testimony. Man is fully convinced. So this is the qualification of a saint given by Kabir. In all else, Kabir says, who is competent to remove that curtain from your eyes to enable you to see the light of God within and enable you to hear the voice of God reverberating throughout all creation. Such a competent man is expressed by the word saint. Nowadays we take saints as simply well-versed in literature or holy scriptures, where saints don't define a man in that way, saint in that way, who has got the practical experience of the higher self, of his own self and the over self, and is competent to give others that divine contact. Only such a man is termed as saint, in the words of the teachers, mankind, who came in the past. Now he says, look here, this body which you are wearing on, that you have to leave someday. For this maintenance of this body, you got outer buildings. Well, look here, you can leave this body one day, all the outer environments in one day. Where you are, after all, when you leave, you have to go somewhere where you do not know. If you know how to leave this body in a conscious state, you will be able to know two things. One, how to transcend the body, leave the body at will. At the time of that, you have to simply shake off this body, that's all. Saint Plutarch says, as at the time of death his soul experiences, has experiences, at the time of death, those very experiences a man has when he is just initiated into the beyond. Man has to analyze oneself. At the time of death, soul leaves the body. And the master does teach you how to transcend the mind, the very first day. Where the world philosophy ends, there the true religion starts. The true religion means way back to God, starts from where you transcend the body. So he says, look here, the house, the dwelling house in which you live, in this body, this is the dwelling house you live in, that you will leave someday. And you are engaged the whole time in maintaining this body and its environment, and knowing nothing about yourself, who you are and what you are. I remember an incident at Lahore when I was at Lahore in India. One grown-up child of a gentleman died, and they took his corpse to the cremation place. They asked me to give a talk at the time. I told them, well, look here, the subject matter of your sermon at this moment is just lying before you. Here is something which has left this body, and this is dead body now. And that very thing still exists in you. Are you prepared for this change? If you are prepared, well and good. If not, just do that. This is the subject, you see, before us as a man problem. We have to solve it. In the company of the saints, they give us the very first hand experience how to transcend the body. Their ABC starts only from there. Not in reading of the scriptures only. These are the elementary steps. Not alone attending the holy places of the different sects. These are the elementary steps. The whole thing starts from there. These are the way, paving the road to spirituality, you might say. Spirituality does not mean in following only the rituals and forms of the sects, but it only consists know oneself, to know the science of the soul, direct, to know oneself and know ourselves. This is strictly speaking this what spirituality denotes. But we have confounded it with only the observance of the outer forms and rituals. I have regard for those, because those are the elementary steps, and then reading the first class of the third primary, naturally he has to have recourse to the books and everything. But when he is grown up, he becomes the master of arts, he doesn't need any pen or paper to write on, to start with. So these are the elementary steps, we have regard for those things, and you are fortunate, you stand somewhere, but I would only ask you to be sincere. To be sincerely after what those teachings, those saints, those sects tell us to do. They all enjoin to lead a clean, chaste life. They all enjoin to have a life worth living, you see. Just be of help to man, all human, serve all humanity. So that is to be part of the first ethical life, a stepping stone to spirituality. But that is also the way, reading of the spirituality. The masters in Nain, very impressively, I say, well, look here, you are a man, you have to leave this body someday. Are you doing anything to know yourself by self-analysis? If you do that, this thing of death will go. You have no fear of death. Because you have passed that stage, what is called death. You daily die and go up. Did not Saint Paul say, I die daily? Every saint who came before, they did say so. This is a science, old science, but we have forgotten, unfortunately, I would say. So Guru Arjuna here enjoins that, thinking, look here, this body you have to leave someday. Why not just turn your attention to the one who is leaving the body, who is living the body, you see. If you know yourself, that is the knowing of the self, of the inner man. We know outer self, no doubt. We all know, we are, as it were, become the outer self. We have no knowledge of the inner man left. But without that, man is nowhere. Time must come, no exception to the rule. One has to leave the body and go. At the time he'll be nonplussed. Oh, where is he going? Who is going? He simply sheds tears and repents and goes. That's all. Would it not be better if in this life, very life, has the same experience as the beginning? In the company of those who have that experience and are competent to give you that experience. So this is what he is enjoining. He says, wherever you have to go after leaving the body, you have to go somewhere. Where you have to go, if you have got experience of that, of the beyond, even now, I think at the time of death, you would say like Kabir, the word that, you see, throws awe, you see, fear into the mind of everybody. But Kabir says, when he hears the name of death, I am overjoyed. Why? He says, I have got experience of the beyond. I die daily, hundreds of times in a day. So this is subject matter before us. This is what Guruji and all of the saints have been enjoying. Mahamunis also, they say, die before you die. This is what Christ also said. Except you be born anew, you cannot see the kingdom of God. This is to be born anew into the beyond. Whosoever shall lose this life shall save it. And whosoever shall save this life shall lose it. The references are always there. I'm telling you, as I have already said, no new thing. But at least the revival of the old truth, which we have forgotten, and that requires revival. Further he says, now as it were, can we transcend the body at will? That's the question further arises. He says, yes. When? How? When you meet some master, sit at the feet of some master who has that experience and is competent to give you some experience at the very start. We can leave the body even now, at will. This may appear as a rigmarole now, but is a hard fact. All saints in the past have given up that way, and even now, with the grace of my master at whose feet I have the good fortune to sit, this experience can be had. Even now, with his grace, science cannot die out, this remains as ever. Then he says, can anybody help us in having this experience? He says, look here, all through the world he says he has sought for such a personality, here, there and everywhere, but he found the feet of the master only where he could learn this subject, had the first experience of analyzing oneself and ourselves. So this is subject matter, one for all as a man. The mystery of life has to be solved irrespective to whatever cause, creed or color we belong. That makes no difference. We are born in the same way, all leave the body in the same way. All endowed with the same privileges from God. It is not that for one sect you have got one privilege, for the others they are not. Equally. There is no difference between color or race, nothing of the sort. You are all men. Man has the same construction outside and inside. It is not that Hindus have got four eyes and the Christians have not got. All have got two eyes. The same intellect, the same mind, the same outgoing faculties, and the same soul. Simply they have to liberate their soul from the bondage of mind and matter and know oneself in life. If they do so in the company of somebody who knows it, who is living that life and is competent to give you personal experience of that life, in his company you will also be able to experience that way. So this has been the subject before us ever since the world began, and I told you just now, we have been forgetting this much. Saints have been coming from time to time to revive this old truth. Again, when they went away, dwelling human, we forgot it. Even today we stand in the same way. You see, ever since the world began, when it started, well, nobody knows, I would say. There's some estimation of the fact, some 4 billions or something like that the world began. But that is only an estimate of the world after the last, what you say, dissolution. There have been so many dissolutions and great dissolutions, who knows when the world started. Ever since then we have been separated from God. God is all consciousness and we are conscious entities. We have been away from the source, from aeons and aeons about which we do not know. As a man you have got this, your turn to retrace your way back, to regain your last godhood, I would say. And man is a golden opportunity you got in the body of man to have that thing now. Those who have got now, they can be fully convinced, otherwise they simply, you rely on the promises you will have in the other life. Well, what is the proof whether you will get it or not? The saints do not advocate that. They say if you are now a learned man, even after that you will remain learned. And if you are now a illiterate man, can you become a learned man after your death? So bird in hand is better than two in the bush. You see? Have that life, even as a man, even now you can have it. Of course, for that thing, the great first and foremost necessity would be to meeting some personality who's got the first and experience of it and is competent to give you that experience. Call that man by any name you like. That can be in Hindus, can be in Christians, can be in any social forms. That makes no difference. But the reality is one, man is one. Outer and inner constitution is the same. All are endowed with the same privileges. The point is we have developed in one way physically and intellectually, and we have not developed spiritually. To make the best use of man's life is to develop spiritually as well. We should progress our round. Be ye perfect as your Father is in heaven. You have to be perfect our round. You have dwelt physically, intellectually, and now if you dwell also spiritually, you will be near perfection. This is the message which I have brought from the East. I will tell you, as a man to man, I would not say that I have got some very brilliant man come from above, falling from the sky. I'm man like you. But fortunately, I had to sit at the feet of somebody, some great soul, my master, who had the experience of this, and he gave me that experience. And with his grace, the people coming in contact, they are having that experience. Those of you really out there, anywhere they may be situated, that makes no difference. The man who has to learn, say, medicine, he has to qualify for that. Even a Hindu can join it, a Mohammedan, a Christian, he may belong to any society likes, but if he does qualify to join that medical college, any and everybody can join it. Similarly, this way, the man who would like to have this, a personal experience of his self and the old self, he has to qualify for that, and that qualification consists in leading a pure and chaste life, clean life, a life of non-violence, of truth, and love for all humanity and selfless service. This is the qualification required of the man who would like to follow, grasp or have the personal experience of the higher self within. And then that can be had in this very life. We are not to wait till after death. This was the subject today before you. This is no new subject again, I would just say, our Lord science, which all saints who came in the past, they had experience of it. Whoever came in contact with them, they gave them experience. they develop wonderfully. Even now, if you come across any personality with that experience who is competent to give you that.
Good morning. Welcome to the satsang for Master Kirpal Singh. The recording you just heard was the last part of the talk called The Path of the Masters, given on June 21st, 1955 at the Friends Meeting House in Washington, D.C. Our reader this morning is Rick Casey. Hello, Rick.
Hello, Pradeep. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, you're clear. Go ahead.
All right. This morning, I'm going to continue reading from the book God-Man. Last time, I had just begun a little bit of chapter 13, so I'm going to resume with the book God-Man, reading from the Ruhani Satsang website on chapter 13. Master and the homegoing of Jivas. Master comes from his spiritual abode to call the Jivas back home. No man can come to me except the Father, with which hath sent me draw him. John 6:44. Our spirit is exactly of the same essence as God's. Having been separated from that ocean of bliss, it has become imprisoned in the prison house of the body and mind. Saints also come down from their spiritual abode to take back home such spirits as are prepared for the return journey. It is, in fact, God Himself who comes in the garb of man to lead the jivas out of the tentacles of the negative powers after they have served their period of probation. This is the fulfillment of the grand covenant, or the great law. Man is to be the teacher of man, teaching the true redemption and homegoing with rejoicing. When the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, they that hear shall live. John 5:25. He who sent thee into the world calls thee back. Return ye to thy native home in Sahaj, beyond the threefold regions, physical, mental, and causal. One with God, they come into this world under His behest, as His plenipotentiaries to administer His law concerned with home going. This is their noble mission, and gracefully they fulfill His purpose. Shams e Tabriz tells us about himself. Little can you imagine what type of birds we are, and what we keep warbling all the time. We may look to be a beggar, but our actions are more than kingly. We may appear to be poor, but we are richer than the richest mine. When we are king of kings, we care not for the brief stay in this prison house of the world. We are just a pilgrim here and cannot remain for long. We hold a covenant with the Lord and stand true to our troth. So long as we are in physical raiment, we do not get annoyed with anybody, nor do we vex another. Like a veritable paradise, we are ever filled with kindly light and heavenly grace. Happily do we live with a cheery heart and a smile on our lips. Guru Gobind Singh likewise tells us of himself. Casting off the duality, I had become one with the Lord. Never did I like to come down again into the world, but it was at His bidding that I had to yield, and I came to fulfill His purpose. Kabir Sahib also says, Kabir comes from the celestial abode of the Lord and holds a direct commission, instrument of instruction, from him. Again, in the Gospel we have, I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. John 8:28. In Gurbani, we also come across similar references. O Lalo, I speak nothing from myself. I simply utter what the Beloved puts into my mouth. Poor Nanak opens his mouth only when he is bidden to do so. Chapter 14, Master and His Mission. Master souls come into the world out of sheer compassion for suffering humanity. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew 11:28. They have a necessity to put on the physical raiment, full of impurity as it is, because they have to work on the physical plane among human beings. God clothed himself in vile man's flesh, that so he might be weak enough to suffer woe. John Donne. The way in which they come into and go out of the world is, however, quite different from ours. They come and go of their own free will, while we do so under the irresistible force of karmic pressure, just as a prisoner would enter a prison under a sentence of penal servitude. They come for the benefit of mankind, to grant the life impulse to such embodied souls as yearn for life. Disembodied and internally free, they come as saviors of souls. They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Mark 2:17. Birth and death affect them not, for they come as saviors for the sinners. By transmitting their own life energy, they transform the disciples into saints. A master soul is the greatest benefactor on earth. His work is of the highest order. He comes to liberate the souls from the vast prison house of mind and matter, so that he may take the exiles back to their glorious home and restore them to their rich heritage. A kindly soul may direct the prison warden to provide delicious food for the prisoners under his charge. Another may grant the boon of delicacies to them. A third may order for them good clothing and lodging and so on. Each of them, no doubt, may do something to ameliorate their lot for the time being. But if someone were to open the prison gate and ask them to escape the squalor and misery of the jail, his work would naturally be counted as one far excelling the works of others. This is exactly the nature of the work of a master soul. He reveals to us the lost kingdom and restores us to paradise, from which Adam and through him his progeny were driven out for the original disobedience to God's commandment. Man had an ignoble fall from the Garden of Eden, and none could restore him to the good grace of the Father and bring about reconciliation except the Son of Man. He takes upon himself the vicarious responsibility for the sins of man purifies him of all ignominy, and by a transfusion of his own life impulse, makes him arise into cosmic awareness and gain everlasting life. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. John 3:36. Chapter 15. Master and His Work. Master is like a wish-yielding tree. He always grants the wishes, whatever they are, of the seekers. The rich and the poor, the high and the low, everyone comes to him for something. His greatest pleasure, however, lies in liberating spirits from the clutches of body and mind. Irrespective of his denominational character, he attends to the spiritual needs of all. He neither creates new isms, nor does he denounce the isms in existence. He comes not to break the law, but to fulfill the law. All isms, spiritual, in fact, receive strength and solidarity from him. In his inimitable loving way, he takes everyone from the line of least resistance. He does not interfere with the creeds and beliefs of a person, whatever these are, nor does he meddle with the social order of things. He simply talks of the Spirit, its intrinsic nature, its seat in the body, its very various operative processes, its latent capabilities, and how it can be developed in its relation with body, mind, and with God, and how it can be liberated, made self-poised, and turned Godward. His appeal is directly to spirit, and his words sink deep into the very depths of the soul. He deals with ready cash at the counter and does not make people live in hope till the end of their lives or thereafter. He teaches, believe not the words of a master soul unless you see the things he tells about with your own eyes. It is just for the sake of experiment that we have in the first instance to accept the words of a master. But when we find the truth of what he says by actual experimentation, then the hypothesis is turned into conviction. When a person once sees the light of the sun, he cannot deny the existence of the sun, even though the bats of the world may unite in denying the solar phenomenon. Unless the inner vision is approached, the truth of reality does not dawn, and the jivas or embodied spirits remain groping in utter darkness and ignorance of the highest and the greatest magnitude. Whenever a master of truth comes into the world, the spiritually hungry and thirsty gather around him and quench their hunger and thirst by the manna and the elixir of life that he freely gives to the aspirants. Gradually, their love develops into a steady devotion that besets them more and more for the saving grace of the Master and helps a jiva to travel quickly home. Chapter 16. Master and His Duties. Countless are the duties and responsibilities of a master. His first and foremost work is to link, once again, the created with the Creator, to win for him the kingdom of God, and restore him to his ancient and forgotten lineage and heritage. This he does by means of shabd, or word, which carries the spirit to its native home. Like electromagnetic waves, the shabd, or word, is vibrating everywhere. But unfortunately, through the overpowering density and weight of matter on the physical plane, we are unable to seal it and harness it to our benefit. A master, by his personal guidance, frees the spirit from the dead weight of matter, disengages it from the sensory organs, withdraws its ever-spreading rays, and collects them at its center, behind the two eyebrows, thereby enabling it to experience a little of the light of God and to hear shabd, the voice of God, both of which, by continuing practice, can be developed in course of time. The jiva then finds himself attracted by that magnetic power, the sound principle, which carries him step by step to his ultimate goal. A mere knowledge of the science of the masters cannot be of any avail in intellectualism by itself, however keen, cannot be of any aid. An ethical life is a stepping stone to spirituality. Cleanliness is said to be next to godliness. A master, therefore, begins his work with man-making. Cleanliness in thought, word, and deed is an essential, which cannot be overemphasized. As self-knowledge precedes God-knowledge, a master has first to impart in theory and practice the knowledge of the spirit, to liberate it from the shackles of mind and body. Gradually, the spirit is enabled to cast off the various coverings or sheaths with which it is enshrouded, until it becomes spirit clean, untrammeled, and unalloyed, and exultantly cries out, "I am spirit." After this comes training in God knowledge, which is the climax and the crest jewel in the science of spirituality, and enables the spirit to attain Godhead. Once the shepherd takes charge of a lost sheep and brings it to his fold, he takes over the entire responsibility. Once a master, always a master, is a well-known dictum. Master on earth, he is a master in the various regions, subtle and causal and beyond. He does not rest until a spirit is safely escorted back to the Father's mansion in heaven. The process of homegoing and progress on the path is entirely at his discretion, and he is the sole judge for the time and measure of each step Godward. From the time the spirit crosses over to the astral plane and comes face to face with the self-luminous form of the master, the jiva has nothing more to do and strive for. It is the master's job henceforth. Apart from this, a master is a child of light, and like a lighthouse over tempestuous seas, sheds his kindly light throughout the world. Like the good shepherd, he has to look after and tend many sheep. Whoever has anything to do with a master soul is ultimately to be prepared for the path and helped through in his probation and apprenticeship. Chapter 17. Guru is Godman. Master is, in truth, the perfect manifestation of God. Filled with godly light, he is the torchbearer of God. He is the pole from which God works out his plan of redemption. God, having made man after his own image, placed an iron wall between himself and the Spirit, owing to the first sin of disobedience to him. Man was thus driven out from the Garden of Eden and placed in the physical world, so the story goes, to earn his bread with the sweat of his brow, and to work out his salvation through a Savior, the Son of Man, in which garb God himself comes with the key to unlock the kingdom of heaven for leading in the lost sheep. The Word becomes flesh and dwells among us. God's light shines through his eyes, God's voice speaks through him, and God's grace works out salvation for those who hunger and thirst for him. Like a common man, he lives among us, shares our joys and sorrows, gives us instructions in spirituality, and guides us on the path. Embedded in the Father, he works out his will. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Matthew 11:27. Maulana Rumi also says, in the Master is lodged both God and the Mediator. There is, in fact, not the least distinction between the two. Drive all thought of duality from thy mind, or else thou shalt get lost in the wilderness, and so also be the fate of thy first lessons in spirituality. He who considers the two separate entities has not yet learnt anything from or known anything of the Master. Master is the form of the formless God, the form that we can see and have relationship with. It is this very form that imparts to us the knowledge of God, and again, it is this very form, luminous, of course, that accompanies us on the journey Godward and directs our footsteps on the path. In each plane, physical, causal, and beyond, there is increased splendor of the Master, and his limitless sway and power becomes more manifest to the companion spirit as it travels along. God-man as he is, in the world his form is the Qibla and Kaaba of Muslims, the altar of the Christians, the eternal light of the Zoroastrians, the temple, the synagogue, and the Gurdwara, for he alone is fit to be worshipped. Like electricity in the atmosphere, the universe is charged through and through with God. There is no place where he is not, and yet he is hidden from view. And Guru or Master is the mighty switch, the source and fountainhead that makes it possible for us to witness his greatness and get glimpses of his power. In short, Master is the pole at which God actually works, and therefore he may fittingly be called polarized God, as distinguished from the latent state in which he is at one with everything, and yet we know him not. The greatness and the puissance of God is manifested in the Master in abundance. So long as a person does not come in contact with some God-man, God just remains an idea with him, a mere figment in his everyday mind a shadow with no real substance at all. In the God-man, one finds a living God on earth, just as anyone, talking and smiling with us, guiding us by word and example, and helping us through from stage to stage. Blessed indeed is a spirit that can establish a living contact with a living master, the greatest gift of God to mankind. Man indeed is the teacher of man. Unless a God-man gives us light, we cannot have the light of reality. And like blind men, we grope in utter darkness. In the physical world, we, with physical eyes, can see nothing but physicality around us. The subtle vision can see the subtle world, and the causal can view the causal universe. Master of all three and even beyond, he bestows inner light that illumines the inner darkness, and one begins to witness an endless panorama of spiritual vistas, ever expanding and bringing to view new delights at every step. All this work he does by means of the sound current or the voice of God, hearing which the dead are quickened with life and attain life everlasting. He is the connecting link between a soul and the oversoul, with roots embedded in God and branches spreading throughout the world, laden with flowers and fruits of paradise. He provides spiritual food to all who come to him. Maulana Rumi, in this context, says, O friend, sit near one who knows the condition of thy heart and who can make it whole. Rest a while under the shade of a tree that is laden with fresh and fragrant flowers. Loiter not in the marketplace from shop to shop, as idlers do. Go straight to one who has a store of honey with him. Take hold of the garment, O brave soul, of one who knows well the various planes, physical, mental, supramental, and beyond, and is able to remain with thee like a true friend, whether in life or in death, in this world or in the next. The form, physical or astral, of the Master, or God and man, which helps us through in our journey Godward, is better by far than the native, invisible form of God, which is beyond all thought and contemplation. Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva, Ishwar, Niranjan, and Parameshwar, incarnations of Brahma, are all worthy of our respect and adoration. We have read much about them religiously in sacred lore. They figure as heroes and heroines in mythological tales, but as such are nothing but figments of human imagination. When Satguru, or the Master of Truth, takes charge of a spirit at Gagan, he gradually reveals the true significance and way of each of them. All of them have existed since creation and are engaged in carrying on the duties assigned to each of them. But we cannot know them or their handiwork and authority unless the Satguru takes us along and shows us the nature of this mysterious hierarchy. Well, I've come to the end of my time. I was reading from the book God-Man up through page 119. Thank you, Master, for for everything.
And thank you, Rick, for the divine reading. 85 of us attended today's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And thank you, Master, for providing this for us.
All these relations, you see, they are brought together only as reaction of the past. To pay off their debts, really. Pay them off with love.